This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD Storytelling, the Power of Art and Vulnerability. With us in our virtual studio is Danny Donovan. I'm real excited about our show, but before we get into it, we have a few announcements. This program is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and in celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, all you have to do is listen to our show. We're going to share a secret word a couple times. Listen to it, write it down. Listen to another show. Let's find the secret word, write that down. Then just email me the two secret words. The email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. And when I get it, I'll get the process going, and we will get you a current copy of Attention Magazine in PDF form, and then we will send you another PDF copy of the next issue when it's produced. It's unique times. Every year we have the annual International Conference on ADHD. Because of the COVID-19 virus, we're actually going digital for the first time, or virtual. So this year's conference was originally supposed to be in Dallas, Texas. Now it's going to be online. We have said this for years. We are proud of our content that we produce on Attention Talk Radio, but there's nothing like going to a conference and mingling with your tribe. This virtual conference, I understand they're getting some software to do some really dynamic things with some breakout rooms to try to simulate you being physically at a conference as best you can. I'm anxious to hear what that's all about, but in the past, travel expenses and stuff had gotten in the way, so now you do not have a reason not to attend. The conference is between November 5th and 7th, I believe, at this time, but to learn more, go to chadd.org. Got a little tip that we want to run for you, and we'll get into the show.
Have you always wanted to attend the annual International Conference on ADHD, but couldn't because it was too expensive? This year, you're in luck. The 2020 conference is going virtual. You and your family will have the benefit of enjoying the conference from the comfort of your own home. Get ready to interact with speakers and participants from around the globe. Learn more at theadhdconference.org.
Thanks again, Chad, for your continued support, long-term support. We're actually, I think, in our 10th year with them, so we're really proud of our relationship. For those that don't know, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of ADHD. In other words, they're the spokes organization for our tribe. They're the ones that are on Capitol Hill talking to lawmakers to make sure we get our fair shake, and dealing with regulatory agencies just to make sure wording and some of those laws and regulations are there so that those with ADHD can get the right accommodations that they need in order to thrive. We encourage our listeners to become members of CHAD or donate. Certainly you can donate, but to become a member is actually really cool because you get all kinds of great benefits, discounts to conferences, Ask the Expert podcast, you get Attention Magazine, and a lot more. To donate or to join, go to chadd.org, and while you're there, you can also learn about the annual conference. Okay. This is a real fun show and a very different show for us. We don't typically do featured stories on individual, but I think this one's kind of unique. Danny Donovan is a graphic designer and artist, well known for her ADHD cartoons. She rose to fame when her first comic, ADHD Storytelling, went viral, viewed over 100 million times, and made her a star in the online ADHD community. Her cartoons are insightful, poignant, and cathartic. She uses painful, honest stories to illustrate her personal challenges and exposure to the invisible workings of her brain. Danny just left her full-time job to create ADD content full-time. You can support her. And actually, let me pause you right here. This is an interesting time right now for lots of artists. The whole Patreon thing about being members and supporting our artistic community is really one of those things that's coming along, and I'm really, really thrilled that it's starting to take hold. Danny made the risk to step aside from her full-time job in order to follow up on this passion. And about that time, the COVID pandemic started, and she's had some speaking engagements and stuff that have been kind of canceled, and it's been a bit of a challenging time. So first of all, we're going to say her website is ADHDDD.com. You can learn more about her and access her Patreon account, but you can also go to her Patreon account, donate, become a member at patreon.com/, and I'm going to spell this, DANIDONOVAN. And I don't normally do this. Matter of fact, I'm not so sure I've ever done this, but given the circumstances and Danny's talent, we encourage you to go check out her Patreon account and maybe participate to kind of help her and other artists through these struggling times. So with no further ado, Danny, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a lot of fun. I have people that kind of work my social media a little bit just because I can't do anything. And I wasn't aware of you, Danny, when you first hit it. And it was brought to my attention with somebody else. And it was fascinating getting to know you and meeting you at the 2019 International Conference on ADHD and kind of showing around. And I think this is going to be a real fun show. Tell us about your background before we get into like some of the storytelling and content stuff. Tell us about your background. And you're a graphic designer, right?
Yes. So I was really interested in art ever since I was a kid. My first, you know, what I want to be when I grow up was actually a cartoonist for the Sunday Funnies, because I used to like always get them out and read them. And I had a hard time staying focused on books in school, but I would go to the library and just devour the comic books, especially, you know, Garfield, Calvin and Hobbes, which some people, you know, didn't think of as like storytelling or like real books, but I just, you know, would get lost in them because they were kind of, I would say, designed for me. And I really related to that. As I got older, I really developed an interest in other kind of artistic endeavors. Like I wanted to be a CG, you know, computer graphic animator, and then realized that those films take 2 years to make. And I'm like, I don't know, I have the attention span for that. So I fell into graphic design around eighth grade and actually kind of stuck with it, stuck through college. Really kind of found a passion for art that helps people understand things. And so that information design and working at Gallup, which is my last job, has really, I think, lent itself to the content I create now.
So you got out, and tell us about the first couple jobs and or the last job you were at. Were they graphic design jobs?
They were. I've actually had, I think, 10 graphic design jobs from – I graduated college in 2013, but I did. I was always – since I had such a head start, like started using Photoshop in middle school, when I got to college, I actually had a pretty decent skill set to be able to kind of get ahead, get summer internships where I was working full-time. But it's funny because at the time I didn't get diagnosed with ADHD till college. And so I was the first time that it really like hit me how hard it was for me to stay focused and be productive for a full 8-hour workday was when I had my first internship and I was working 40 hours a week and it was just like pulling teeth for me, and I was constantly tired. Like, I'd go out on my lunch break and, like, sleep in my car and stuff, and I was late to work a lot. It was really, you know, challenging, and that's one of the things, honestly, that prompted me to go and talk to someone, because I was like, I don't feel like it's this hard for everybody. And then I started getting treatment during that first year internship, and it was just so enlightening to see the difference between, like, when I started and then by the end of the summer, even.
Wow. Wow. I want to pause here real quickly. This is fascinating. I did an interview with Dr. Russ Ramsey, I think it was September 2019, on ADHD coaching as an intervention. Now, Danny's not a coach, but I'll tie this back in together. And it was fascinating because Dr. Ramsey is a University of Pennsylvania mental health professional or academic person who has been a fan of coaching for a long time and has seen it kind of come and go. And I was really interested in getting an outside perspective, outside the coaching world's thoughts on this. And it was a spectacular interview, but like a lot of my interviews, what's really cool is this weird thing kind of comes out, this big aha, and Dr. Ramsey really kind of credited the ADHD coaching world as to bringing the business sense of ADHD to the ADHD community. And while the early parts of that was really to get onto social media and do some things, I never forget seeing Rick Green's Totally ADD on Global TV back in 2008. I still have the original email where I reached out to him and I said, this is a game changer. And Rick came in with Totally ADD and started bringing videos and stuff to it. And more graphics kind of came into the fold. And then Jessica McCabe came on with How Do ADD. And it's kind of funny because I was having a conversation with Rick Green the other day about how Jessica and Rick do a really good job of bringing people into the ADHD fold, and we're reducing the stigma. And where this really ties into it is I think Donnie is really a pioneer in some other things that are coming in with these graphic type things of really communicating story, art, vulnerability, and communication. And I think that this is a really kind of cool time because I think that the visuals and the animation and the communication is really, really helping the world get in touch and taking down that stigma. And as I've been a coach for a really long period of time, I've seen a huge change in the perception of ADHD over a period of time. So I just had to put that as an aside that this is really cool. Dr. Ramsey had kind of pointed that stuff out, and it's actually helping the mental health community as a result of it. So getting back to your story, as a graphics design person, one day you put together this graphic design and you put it on the internet. Why did you do that design? We're going to talk about what happens when she said it on the internet in just a second, but what motivated you, or how did that first design kind of come about?
So what's really funny is I got diagnosed at 19, and I went like almost 10 years without ever really thinking about my ADHD, without talking about my ADHD, even with my, you know, friends, family. It's not that I like forgot I had it, but I didn't think it was either relevant or I felt too much shame to like talk about how it might make things difficult. And I started my job at Gallup, and 2 months in, I was really kind of clicking with my coworkers, and we were sitting out on the couches working on our laptops, and people started talking about therapy. I've never heard people talking about their therapists with the stuff that they're kind of working through. And I was able to say, hey, you know, I see someone, but what are your experiences? And just that vulnerability and like for the first time feeling like it wasn't shameful to talk about struggles and the things that you're working through really helped me open up. And I told them, you know, hey, so I have ADHD. And they were like, yeah. And anyway, and so it had kind of become this inside joke that I have. I had said that the conductor for my train of thought, his name is Donnie Danovan, and he's very sleepy and very bad at his job. And so my train of thought just is constantly going off the rails and taking detours. And so every time I'd be telling a story and get way off track, people would be like, damn it, Donnie. You know, and it was like this funny way for all of us to gently remind me to kind of come back to what I was talking about. But it wasn't like they were laughing at me. We were like all kind of giggling about this pattern that I always kind of fall into. And so I made it as a graphic to actually just send to my friends from work. And I was not planning on posting it on the internet because I hadn't talked to tons of people about having ADHD, and my boss followed me, and my friend Lauren really encouraged me to post it. She thought that I found it on the internet and sent it to her. She didn't realize that I'd made it. And so she was like, you have to post it. And I had this real internal struggle about, should I take off the ADHD part? Should I just be like other people's storytelling and my storytelling, you know? And I realized that the reason why I don't see this anywhere is for this exact reason, is that people feel uncomfortable disclosing it. Because what if people find, you know, and say it's not the exact same as, you know, like being in the closet, but you don't know how people are going to react or judge you or think less of you or not trust you with certain, you know, tasks or so I kind of just bit the bullet and I was like, I'll just put it on Twitter because I'll put it on Facebook or Instagram. People I know follow me on those things. I'll just put it on Twitter. That's a safe space. The only 10 people I know who follow me on Twitter are very close friends. So this seems safe. I didn't put a watermark on it because I didn't think about it blowing up. And before I knew it, within a day, you know, it was like 20,000 likes or something. And I was like, oh no. Now, I was excited, but it was scary because it was making its way onto Facebook. And I didn't post it on Facebook. A bunch of people started reposting it and getting hundreds of thousands of, you know, millions of likes. And it was really discouraging at first, you know, not just because I'm like, oh, I want credit, but because after a while I saw the ADHD storytelling being edited off and really popular versions of it had different titles that people had put on there to make it more like accessible for everybody when I had originally intended it to kind of apply to a specific niche. So
wow.
I just did the story
because
I think I'm talking too much, but you know.
No, but like this is a great story. And I want to keep going with the story because there's a lot of stuff in here that I really want. There's a lot of really cool things I think about that. So let's go to a break real quick. When we come back, we'll pick up where we are. Our secret word tonight is art. Again, nice and simple. Secret word tonight is art. And Danny's website is www.adhdd.com. We encourage you to go there. You can get to her Patreon page from there. And we already told you the story that she's rather pleased to support her right now so we can keep her going. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Do you worry when your child is left out? Does your child have trouble making and keeping friends? Life skills can be challenging for ADHD kids. Learn how you can be your child's greatest ally by reading the book Ned Hollowell described as a game changer, Michelle Borba referred to as the ultimate guide for parents, and Michael Thompson praised as the groundbreaking book you've been waiting for. Go to playbetterplan.com to buy a copy of Caroline McGuire's book, Why Will No One Play With Me? While you're there, subscribe to download her free mini course on developing social skills for children. That's playbetterplan.com.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Danny Donovan, hearing a spectacular story of hope and panic. I want to highlight something kind of before the break that's really, really important. Danny was with a group of people in a conversation that was a safe environment, I guess, when she first started really kind of talking about this. And one of the things I don't advocate is just going out and blurting out that you have ADHD unless you're prepared for it or it is a safe environment. And certainly that happened, and some great things began to happen. One last piece that Danny had mentioned is she alluded to uncomfortable, like coming out, like gay people coming out of the closet. And one of the things we did a show many, many, many years ago, we talked about was ADHD and being gay. And one of the things that was interesting to me that I've learned over the years is things like gay pride and autism speaks. These are these mantras out there. And as a group, it's beneficial for everybody to come out and say, I've got ADHD, but it's really punitive sometimes for the individual. And the gay pride movement really kind of came about where they encouraged everybody to kind of make that happen. And I think it happened over kind of a period of time. There were some very famous people that kind of came out, and now gay is a little bit more accepted. The thing about the ADHD community is there's still some stigma and stuff like that. And the more people kind of come out, the more mainstream it is and helps us. But at the same time, sometimes it's a little bit scary. And I really want to honor Danny in this particular situation because she came out, she hit it, and she's dealing with it. And she's not dealing anymore through the lens of shame and blame, which is really hard to kind of treat ADHD. So it took a lot of courage and a lot of skill to do this. And hopefully you guys will help support her in this, because she's really going to help all of us. So didn't mean to take up too much of her time, Danny, but I just really had to acknowledge you for that. Now, it wasn't maybe intentional, but here we are. Now it's all over the place and you're going, holy cow. You're half freaking out. You're half excited. What's going through your mind at this point in time?
It's really funny, because I, like I said, the story of the origin story of that first comic, and it not being an intentional, like, I think I want to talk about this all the time, or I think I'm going to make a series and try to connect with this niche audience. You know, I truly fell into it, and I don't know if I would. I mean, I know. I wouldn't be making the same level of content if that first one wouldn't have taken off. It was just so, it connected with a lot of people, but it gave me the gigantic, you know, dopamine rush and the validation of reading through these comments and these people who see, you know, feel seen. And I'm like, I now feel this excitement, but responsibility to be a voice for people who have felt invisible for a long time. And for me to make the kind of content that I wish that I saw, because I don't feel like I'm recreating other people's content in the way that I was trying to teach myself how to learn lettering for the first time. And, you know, I was getting better, but I was comparing myself to these people who had been working on it for 10 years. And, you know, I felt like I was just kind of like copying what other people were doing, but like not doing as good of a job at it. And with this, it really just, I felt like I was in my own lane. You know, and mm-hmm. So I looked up to Jessica McCabe for a really long time, and her and I are actually good friends now. We talk, you know, text a lot. We have Monday morning meetings every week where we kind of discuss. It's just, it's such a wild world that remembering in 2016, finding her channel, watching her videos, crying my eyes out, because I had never heard anyone who talked about ADHD in what it looks like in real life. And not like as a symptom list, you know, something that like saying this abstract terms versus hearing someone say that, oh, having trouble doing laundry is actually makes sense for ADHD for all of these reasons. And it just let me release all this guilt I had been harboring because I'd never connected it to my ADHD. So I try to give that feeling to people.
So when you were there, in watching her stuff, do you feel validated at that point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just remember my husband has it too, and we would watch it and just feel like we were connecting all these dots that we didn't realize went together.
Yep. And so I think that one of the things that I want to emphasize here, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the thing about the graphics and stuff that you do is you can communicate words or words. But symbolisms, emotion, mm-hmm. a storyline captivated in some type of a cartoon or some type of design that somebody else can look at and identify with. And I'm going to assume that a lot of your stuff is really about your internal experience, which is yours. It doesn't mm-hmm. really matter. Maybe it's not everybody else's, but still you're sharing that out there. And the power of this, I think it really does, is make a lot of people out there feel validated, like you felt validated when you were kind of watching Jessica's stuff for the first time. Am I putting words in your mouth? Or there's power in this of the connection. Is that right, you think?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that the interesting thing that so me and, you know, Jessica and ADHD Alien, who, you know, I also talk with, and like, you know, Renee Brooks and people, like we actually, I would say we have a group chat and it, ADHD Girl Gang. And so it's fun because we get to, you know, bounce ideas off of each other. But it's interesting because all of us are going for the same thing, but we're all doing it in different ways. So Jessica is back to the whole, like, not feeling like I'm just doing somebody else's, you know, stuff. Jessica's stuff does talk through experiences, but she has a research team and gives a lot of strategies and helpful advice. And my stuff typically is not about giving advice. Because I, frankly, I'm not qualified to give you advice. I'm still trying to figure my own stuff out. And I kind of realized that I'm talking through my experiences, and no one can really tell me that my experiences with my ADHD, you know, is wrong. So I try really hard to stay away from, you know, people with ADHD or many of us feel like I'm just talking through, this is what it's like for me. If it connects to you, awesome, but you can't tell me I don't feel this way. And as far as telling the stories that like connect with people, I've found that actually most of what I do with that symbolism is using a lot of infographics that people already understand how they work. So bar charts, plot graphs, you know, pie charts, people understand these. And so we're able to kind of put them and reframe them into different ADHD terms.
You hit on something here that I want to, the expert on your experience, I want to kind of come back to that and spend a little more time. But to give that its due, I want to go to a break here again. Everybody, our secret word is art. And again, Dani's website is ADHDDD.com. And again, you go check her stuff out. I think you can buy mugs and T-shirts, and you can get to her Patreon account to really support her. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call DIG Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Dani Donovan talking about her lived experience, but weaving a lot of other really good stuff in here about the ADHD tribe and the community and kind of what's going on. Before the break, she commented on the stuff that she writes is really about her experience, and I want to emphasize this a little bit. In coaching people with ADHD, a lot of times they're dealing in environments where they're writing and doing some things, and one of the things that I really adore about what Donnie's saying is to sit there and say this is the thing for everybody with ADHD, it's completely different across the board, but she's an expert in her experience, and she can speak with authority on her experience. And by saying that's her experience, it's not to say it's your experience, it's just to say it's her experience. I think the power in this is by sharing her experiences, she's not telling everybody what to do or shaming or degrading. She's just sharing. I think it's a real reason that people are drawn to her. And she's not representing her opinion as fact. She's just saying, this is my experience. And I encourage, when I'm coaching people with ADHD, a lot of time is they're trying to do some things. And listen, don't try to be the expert. Just be the expert in your experience. And that's really all you kind of need to do. And I think it's really the cool part, Dani, what you're doing is because you're that you're the expert and you're communicating this in such a way with your own vulnerabilities and your own storyline, it's authentic. And I think that that's very inspirational for a lot of people. And by the way, I want to segment into, now that you're here, holy crap, you're jumping up and you're launching into this. So that I want to hit that in a second. But this notion, it's there and you're sharing that, to me, that's the power of you, is because you actually are being authentic. And that's to me, that's why you're popular. You feel that way or do you see things differently?
I do. I think that one of the things that I have been told that people appreciate about my stuff is that I'm not trying to like sugarcoat things. I'm not always, you know, inspire. A lot of my stuff isn't inspiring or positive. It's either neutral or it's talking through some really dark places, you know, inside that we might not either think about or don't feel like other people will understand. And so I do have some, you know, positive side of ADHD, but I'm never telling people how to change themselves. And I think that in that way, people, I would say, view me as, you know, a sister or a friend that they can, they feel like understands them and will listen to them without trying to tell them how to fix it. Because there's other people, lots of other resources out there, you know, who are more fill in that kind of coach, mentor, teacher, you know, parent role, and that they were craving someone in their life who, you know, when people say like, do you want to just vent or do you want me to help? You know, do you want advice?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of advice out there, but there's not a lot of like venting resources.
Yeah.
So I think that's a spot that I was kind of able to find.
Absolutely. So everybody, just to be clear, if you go to her website, you get posters, t-shirts, mugs, comic strips, all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of really fun stuff. So now the fun part. So you have this thing that goes viral and you get out there. This has got to be really, really, really scary to be leading with your ADHD to say, I'm going to get into this business and I'm going to set this website up. And wow, tell me about that. That's got to be like a little intimidating, scary, but rewarding.
My ADHD makes it so hard. It's funny because so thankfully I had someone, Stupia, who reached out to me very early on. Like this, I did this comic was mid-December of 2018. So it's been around like a year and a half that this has been going on. And immediately, like within a couple, you know, weeks, he had reached out and mentioned like, you need a website, you need something for people to sign up for a newsletter. You should probably go and like copyright your work. And I hadn't thought of those things or they seemed intimidating. And he was like, no, literally just get like a landing page, set up just so you have something. And so I did that. I made like a bare bones Wix site, which was difficult for me as a perfectionist and as a designer. I'm glad I did because it literally took me over a year. Like I just launched my website like a month and a half ago after I left my job, because I was trying to do, like I said, I just left my job really recently. And so I had been doing all of this while working full time at a exciting and good, but kind of, you know, sometimes demanding job where I was also expending this creative energy. So finding this balance of, and I am not a workaholic. I'm not, I'm someone who definitely likes to make time for myself. And so finding this balance of like, how can I keep this up? When historically my brain tells me like, well, how long is this going to last? How long until you quit? How long, you know, you, every passion project you've ever done, you have eventually gotten bored and like left. And so, managing this process, and because the stuff that I make is so like instantly gratifying because I can have an idea, sketch it down, you know, and finalize it, you know, within anywhere from, you know, 2 to 5 hours, and post it and have immediate validation of people feeling seen and people loving it. And that really helps boost that dopamine that my brain needs to like do stuff. But then on the flip side, the actual like business management of it, I am knowledgeable in a lot of ways, but it's harder to get myself to do that because it's not, you know, that instantly gratifying, validating experience. So managing this now is not a side project, but as like a full project, especially with everything going on, has definitely been a challenge.
So everybody, did you hear the stress in her voice earlier? This is real. Like everybody out there, a year and a half to the website, and how am I going to reproduce this stuff? I mean, this is the ADD experience, which is why I want to have her on. She's like in the middle of it. There's like a love-hate thing that's kind of going on, and like, where's going on? Listen, you're not the only one out there that's feeling that way. You might not be an artistic designer, but if you've got some other business that you're doing, realize this is like kind of normal just out here. I do want to – there's one particular thing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that like people think that people with ADHD just like put off stuff that they like don't want to do. And a lot of times I'm, you know, putting off stuff that I do want to do, that I'm excited to do. You know, I'm delaying replying to emails for things I'm excited to work on, you know, positive stress. But even like with my website, my store, I could have been selling posters a year ago. I know I would have been making money. I could have been making money for a year. And I knew it wouldn't take me that long to set it up, But the fact that I wanted it to be perfect and I didn't want to launch it until I was proud of it, you know, and I just kept delaying it for all these reasons that other people might just, you know, were having that just do it mentality. So it can definitely, people can hopefully feel seen in that experience that, like, even when something seems easy and that it'll be good for you, it's still hard to do.
You're talking about your experience, and I'm telling you, people listening, there's a whole bunch of people going, oh my God, that's me. I can identify with her. So, one of the things that I want to highlight is, to me, there's this, conflict. It's a gnawing, nagging conflict that's just brutal, and that is creativity and pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to create, but the pressure to create. Like, I know for me, there's those days where I sit down and it's just not happening, and other days it just flows. And I mean, you stepped out to, as a creative, and you're relying on that creativity, but there's pressure to kind of create. Can you just talk to us about that experience? Because to me, those, to be a creative is this constant battle between the creativity and the pressure. How do you keep the pressure off to be creative? Because if the pressure's too high, it shuts you down. Thoughts on that?
It's really hard too, because if the pressure's not there, I won't produce. Because I didn't, you're right. There's so, I could talk about this for like a whole hour on itself, but the difficulty with, and I was very clear when people were asking, like, oh, so you're going freelance. And I'm like, I'm open to talking about partnerships and collaborations, but like, I do not want to make stuff for other people that other people already have in mind that they just want me to produce. I'm not a production artist anymore. I want to make stuff for myself. That's, you know, the dream, right? Well, that's awesome and good and fine. But it turns out that I have been in a situation for my entire career where people have told me what they needed, when they need it by, here are the deadlines, you know, I'll give you changes, I'll tell you if you're done. And not having, very suddenly having none of that, let alone the structure and, you know, environment of needing to show up and getting in, I had been fueled so long by my fear of getting in trouble, right? Ended up being a good employee, and I answered my emails and I hit my deadlines because I knew I would get in trouble if I didn't. And a lot of that stress, you know, is obviously stressful, but it motivated me. And I started to use stress and panic as a crutch for motivation. And so when actual deadlines aren't there, I have, obviously, people with ADHD, we have a hard time with that intrinsic motivation of how do I get myself to do things, to keep promises I made to myself. And so that's one of the reasons why I think I have been able to, why this has been difficult, because I don't want to like let people down, and I feel all this shame if it takes a while for me to put out. You know, sometimes I make a ton of comics in a week. Sometimes I make one comic a month, you know, and I always fear that people are judging me. No one has ever said a single thing to me about why aren't you making more comics? No one, zero people.
So
I need to remind myself of that.
So I got to tell you a few things in here. Danny, when I started this Tension Talk Radio years ago, I started it really because I don't write very well. I needed something on social media. And when I first started, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this for like a year. Like, how many topics are there? Like, I'm sitting there going, oh my God. And my life is ebb and flow, but now I'm in years, over 10 years. I think we're about 10 and a half mark. So we're coming up on 550 episodes of Attention Talk Radio, trying to come up with different content. I got to tell you, there were times where there were just bleak times where nothing was coming to me. And then all of a sudden I'd have like five or like a dozen of them in queue. You never know when that spigot's going to kind of come on. And I'm sharing that with you because you got to be sitting there going, how many experiences do I have? But that is the ADHD experience. Another thing I want to share is, everybody heard her talk about the stress and the panic, and that's the challenge of a creative, is you live in this world that you want to get relaxed, but it's a love-hate thing between too much pressure or whatever is too much, but too much of the other way, it's all around. It's really kind of an uncomfortable space sometimes, at least for me. Are you feeling that yourself?
I'm writing down literally right now that I want to make a comic about using pressure as a motivational tactic. What I do, the only way that I've kind of found, two ways that I've found have helped me to be, you know, creative now in those times is that I used to really rely on only making comics when I felt like it. And that worked for a while. But as I get stressed out, I don't feel like it ever. And so I kind of, you know, everyone's like, you need to be flexible with yourself. But if I give myself too much permission, I like don't hold myself accountable, right? So I started to try to do things where, okay, for this 1 week, I'm going to force myself to sketch for 15 minutes every day, even if it's not a good sketch, even if I don't use it. And I'm not going to tell myself I'm going to do this every day forever and ever. I can do 1 week, 15 minutes a day. That's it. You know, I can do it. And when I have ideas, I like right now, when I get into good conversations, things pop up and I go, ooh, that's good. I don't know what I'll do with that, but I could do something. And then I have this note on my phone and I just type it all out. So when the time comes where I'm sitting down and I don't know what to do, I can pull from those past ideas and kind of think through how can I use this. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is I actually made this sheet of paper where I just wrote out, like, just brain dumped 40 different ADHD topics. And then I brain dumped like a bunch of, you know, infographics, bar charts, pie charts, listicles, you know, characterizations, comics. And then I have down here like work, home, school, relationships, communication. And then I just kind of will stare at this list and try to like pick random things and see like, what can I make out of this?
Yeah.
So it helps. So it gives me a box rather than all of that. Like, what do I want to do? I could do literally anything.
So for everybody listening, forgive us for going a long time, but this is really good content, because I think when people like think of the creative process, sometimes it's just a brain dump and stuff's all over the place and you're looking to connect two things that may or may not. It's really a messy process. It's hard to really say that there's organization until it really kind of comes together. But Danny, I have to tell you, often I'm coaching somebody. And as a coach, I don't know what their solution is, but I'm always trying to listen for them. And the majority of all my YouTube content comes from a coaching session. And what happens is something will happen. I'll go, hang on for a second. I'm scratching a note or two down on the side. And when I get done coaching somebody, I dictate their stuff. But I just take a look at my buzzwords and I start to dictate a stream of consciousness. And it comes dictated around and I put it on a sheet of paper. And for me, I know this environment that I can create that if I do it, I'm more probable to be creative. Doesn't mean that I will, but I know that if I do these things, there's a good chance I can get my head in that mind. Then I go through that list, and kind of like you, I'm just like all over the place. Well, whatever's hitting right now, whatever's kind of coming to me, and different types of things. And I'm sharing that experience because it kind of mirrors yours a little bit, but I'm really sharing that your experience, this is my experience, for anybody out there who's creative, to say there's a similar process in this. And what I really want to emphasize, and what I really want to acknowledge in you, is you're taking the risk to go out there as a creative right now. Everybody, please go support her. It's a scary process because you really don't know methodically when it's going to come to you. You kind of get these things together, and we're cheering you on to continue to do what you do, inspire all kinds of other people, and can cheer you on through the stress and the anxiety and the panic of this stuff sometimes, because you're doing really great work. For those listening, this is the process. I don't know if there's any other way around it. It's not an easy thing. It's stressful. Anything
to
add?
It's really messy. I have learned through my – so I actually have had a wonderful ADHD coach, Dusty, for the last year. And the amount of progress that I've made through both essentially doing my own, like, art therapy – I have a whole different, you know, story about that – but art therapy and coaching, and realizing, finally accepting that the only thing – the reason I'm down on myself all the time is inconsistency. I know I can do it sometimes, but I can't do it all the time, and that is what frustrates me. And so Dusty had kind of mentioned, what if consistency for you looks like inconsistency, and you can, like, accept that it is okay that you are not going to be consistent in the way that other people are, and you can just roll with that, and you can develop strategies where that's okay, and it just game changed everything, right? Like, if you actually adjust your mentality, it can change the, you know, your life.
It really, really is. So, wow. Need to pull this together for time. Before we kind of close this out, any last thoughts or nuggets that you want to share on your experience before we call it a day?
I guess, you know, within everything, all of the comic ideas that I kind of come up with, the first storytelling, the growth that I've been able to make in the last year, the number of people in my life, both online and in person, you know, friends and family who have gone and gotten diagnosed with ADHD because they heard me talking about my experiences and it resonated with them. And they didn't realize that other people didn't feel that way. They thought it was, you know, just everybody felt that way, or they thought I felt that way. So that the power in, again, within a safe environment, with sharing your experiences and sharing your story, you would be so surprised how many people it connects with and how many people you can help along the way without even, you know, realizing it. So again, there is such a power in sharing your experiences and stories.
And I want to emphasize this, because there's a lot of people out there at ADHD that start giving advice to other people. Stay in your experience. Mm-hmm. Don't tell people what it mm-hmm. is. Just share your experience. They'll identify. If you start talking to them or towards them, they'll become reclusive and you'll lose that. So anyway, all mm-hmm. that, I got to tell you, Danny, you're an inspiration. You are sharing your experience. People are identifying it. As I said from the Dr. Ramsey interview, it's making it more mainstream, people more comfortable. People are getting diagnosis. People are getting help for the first time just because of your own internal story. And I just applaud you and say you're an asset to the ADHD community. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for having me. And introducing me to everybody at Chad. It's just been such a nice experience, such an inclusive community. I am not as scared as I thought I'd be.
All right. Okay, everybody. Thank you very much, Danny. Our secret word tonight is art. Again, go check out her website, ADHDDD.com. Contribute to your Patreon account. Buy a mug. Get a poster. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.